Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Elite. Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm ready to chop up that good game. On today's show, we're broadcasting live from Los Angeles, and I'm ready to make that hot fire spew from the mouthpiece. Now, we're going to talk about Hidden Colors. We're going to talk about the importance of Hidden Colors 3. Hidden Colors 3 will be released tomorrow. That's Thursday, June 26th. I hate dating the show, but it's going to be Thursday, June 26th tomorrow, and we're having a nationwide theatrical release for Hidden Colors 3, and I want to talk about the importance of that and why we need the film at this time. And I'm going to take some calls from everybody. The phone number is 818-850-5404. We're going to chop up game as far as that, and we're going to do that after this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean real quick. We'll be right back. K-Soldier, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize. What's up, everybody? We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Whoa, let me get my Mac and music popping. Let me turn it down just a little taste. But we're back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am Mr. Tariq Elite. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, Hidden Colors 3 will be in theaters around the country tomorrow. That's Thursday, June 26th. Now, a lot of places around the country, the film is already sold out. I know out here in Los Angeles, the screening in Beverly Hills, that's sold out, but I think they're going to have a standby line too. So I'm saying all of my LA people, still come down to the theater because there might be a possibility that you can still get in. They said something to me about standby tickets, so still go there. I know up in Oakland, it's sold out in Oakland. The Dallas screening is sold out. The Manhattan screening is sold out, but there's another screening in Queens. So you guys can go to the Cinemark Cinema in Queens to check it out. And again, it's in Atlanta, what other city? DC, Philly, Detroit, a whole bunch of other cities. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com right now and find out what city it is close to you. It's in Canada as well. It's going to be in Canada. So I need everybody to go there and represent. Get your tickets, because most of these places are, not even most, all of them are going to be sold out by tomorrow. I know that for a fact. Every theater is going to be sold out. So I would say get your tickets now so you'll be there on time. And everybody, if you're on Twitter and Facebook, tweet the hashtag HC3Movie. That's the hashtag. We want to get Hidden Colors 3 trending. We want to get it trending. So use that hashtag HC3 so we can get Hidden Colors 3 as a trending topic, because we've been promoting this thing heavy, man. It's so important that we have this movie continue to make the impact that it's making right now, because the buzz is real heavy. Everybody's talking about it. I was on TV1 earlier this morning. Shout out to everybody who tuned in to TV1 this morning. Shout out to the brother Roland Martin over at TV1. Real good brother. I was on there talking about the film. They played the clip of the film. They showed a lot of love. I did an interview this afternoon with BET.com. Shout out to the sister Dominique Zanye. We had a very good conversation. I chopped it up with the Life and Times website. That's Jay-Z's website. They're going to do some stuff about Hidden Colors 3. So the buzz is very heavy. And we're showing people the importance and how interested people are of this type of material. Because there's this whole misconception that you have to give the black audience a bunch of ratchetness because that's all they like. And that's not true. You don't have to feed us ratchetness 24 hours a day and pretend that that's all we like. Other people are not presenting an alternative that's interesting. This is the one of the few films that's presenting that alternative that's still interesting and entertaining at the same time and educational at the same time. So I'd like to thank everybody who got involved with the film, especially through Kickstarter. I'd like to thank everybody who got involved with the film through Kickstarter, who became producers of the film. I'm proud of all of you guys because, again, we're making history with Hidden Colors 3 right now. The buzz is incredible. Shout out to Billy Banks, some of the producers of the film. Let me give a shout out to some of the people who were producers on the film. And I'm going to get some calls in a minute, by the way. Shout out to Harlan C. Black, Billy Battle, Ola, Courtney Caesar, Clint Saunders, Marcus Gatson, George Gyru, Emmanuel Harrington, Derek D. Jax, Amos Kalumba, Philip Land, Hanif Muhammad, Stanley Reed, David C. Rose, Willie Robinson, Henry Thompson. These are some of the brothers who became producers on Kickstarter. They really represented. I'm real proud of these brothers, man. But the impact of Hidden Colors 3 is not a joke, man. It is absolutely not a joke. Let me get some of these calls, ladies and gentlemen. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq. It's T. How are you?
Hey, T. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from El Segundo. I'm at work.
Oh, okay. So what's on your mind, T?
Oh, I just wanted to call in and say that I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to the Beverly Hills screening. That should be a lot of fun. I've got a lot of people coming from work.
Oh, cool.
They're going to check it out.
Did you get your ticket already?
Yes.
Oh, good, because you know it's sold out.
Right.
Yes, indeed. So I'm glad you got your ticket. Now, how many people are you bringing with you?
I'm bringing about 5 people.
Cool. Cool. Okay. I look forward to seeing you guys there. I will be there. And they got a red carpet that's going to be out there. So it's going to be they got some other athletes and celebrities that's going to come through. So it's going to be real nice, man. We're going to have a great time tomorrow night.
That's wicked. And now we spoke before.
I remember your accent. I do remember your accent. What did we talk about last time you called?
I was the not Negro bed wench.
Oh, yeah. You were, didn't you dated a white dude before, then you stopped doing that, and then you came back to your roots. What was it, something like that?
Yeah, I was married to a white man.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And
yeah,
you learned some very valuable lessons. What did you learn from being married to the white guy?
Well, I just learned that just because a white person is married to a black person, that doesn't mean that they cannot be racist. That's what I learned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the show. But thank you so much for the call, T. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. And this is why, again, it's so important for us to understand history and for us to understand racial politics. Because Hidden Colors 3, we're talking about the rules of racism. And the rules of racism means that black folks really need to understand racial politics and how racism really works. A lot of us have a real big misconception about racism, and we break it down in Hidden Colors 3. We break it down so that you will not be confused whatsoever about how racism works, because that's the problem with a lot of African Americans. You just don't know how racism works. This is a system that other groups of people are utilizing against us. Not all people, but it's a system. And the point of this movie is to get us to understand that system and how to come up with ways to replace that system with justice, as our brother Neely Fuller so eloquently likes to relay. Let me get a couple of more calls here. What's going on? Who's calling?
Hey, man. How you doing? It's got Frank.
Hey, Frank. Where you calling from?
I'm calling from Miami, but I'm out here on this road driving this truck, man. I got you. Got some tweet. I wanted to call in and ask you a question, man.
Go ahead, fam.
Hey. You know, let's say you have a woman, your woman or your wife or girlfriend, and, you know, sometimes, you know, ladies like to dress, you know, they might be showing cleavage and, you know, dressing all sexy and stuff. Would you say that it would be fair game if you are with your lady and she dresses like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with her dressing like that. But if she knows that guys are looking at her, you know what I mean? Wouldn't it be fair game if it's okay that you look at other women that dress like that?
Yeah.
Like she is? You understand what I mean?
Yeah, but what you don't want to do it just out of spite or out of jealousy, because like if you with your lady and y'all have an understanding, you can say to your lady, hey, look at that girl over there. She's kind of hot. Not as hot as you, but she's kind of hot. If you can do that in a casual way, that's cool. But sounds like you're trying to do it from a position of retaliation. And like if you can do it, I'm going to do it to make you mad, because your lady dressing sexy when you're out with her, that's seemingly upsetting to you, and she knows that. So what you want to do is get into a position where you're cool with that. It's not really bothering you. It shouldn't bother you that your lady is out and she's looking fly. Because
no, but the thing is, I understand what you're saying, but the thing is, when I do look, I get, you know what I mean, I get in trouble, or so to speak, for looking at another woman. And it shouldn't be like that. You know what I mean? And like, I might get a clap on the arm, what you looking at, or something like that. But I would tell her, baby, you look at you. You dressed all nice too. Other men looking at you. Hey, what you think? I'm not a man. I'm gonna be looking too.
Yeah, and you gotta let her know that. You gotta let her know that. Hey, you know, I'm looking, and don't look at it as you being in trouble. I mean, what's she gonna do? Not give you no ass? Put you on coochie strike, and you can as a dude, you can be cool with that. You put her on a dick strike. You dig? So don't even trip
right,
on
but,
that.
But it should be like an even playing field, right? You know what I mean?
But, you know, a lot of times, look, people contradict themselves. People are hypocritical. You know, sometimes people, ladies want attention, and they don't want you to get attention. So it's up to you to stop the hypocrisy. You got to kind of check your lady on that. And it's not that big of a deal. Again, she wants to get attention. That's a natural thing for women to want to be seen by other dudes and want to be appreciated by people and want to look nice when they go out and all that. So I would say don't take it too seriously, fam. It sounds like y'all got a good little thing going, so don't take it too seriously. But thanks for the call, fam. Let me get one more call here real quickly. All right, what's going on? Who's calling?
Hey, yo. I'm on the line?
You online, man. Who is this?
This is BK from Atlanta, man.
What's up, BK? How you doing,
big
fam?
Big fan of yours. I'm doing good, man. I called in. I don't know what the topic is, but I want to know if you know about that Dear White People movie. That's supposed to be coming out.
Yeah, I heard about it. I saw the trailer, so yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, what all do you think about that? I don't know if you know too much about it. I don't know
too much about it. I saw the trailer, and it looks interesting, but I just don't know too much about it right now. But hopefully, you know, they represent in the movie. But anyway, speaking of movies, are you going to Hidden Colors out there tomorrow?
Nah, I'm not going to be Hidden Colors. I'm going to get the DVD, though.
Okay, man, you better go to the theater and see it with everybody, especially on Friday, because they're showing it tomorrow at the Midtown Art Theater, and they're showing it Friday at the Plaza Theater. So I know they still got a lot of tickets for the Plaza Theater. So if you can do it, get on out there and check it out with everybody, man. It's good to see a movie like that with a group of like-minded people. You feel me?
All right, for sure. I'm going to check it out. My brother wants to talk to you. Hold on.
Okay, y'all niggas got to hurry up. Y'all passing the goddamn phone over like I'm a bill collector.
Real talk, though.
Hey, what's up, man? What's your name? What's your name, fam?
Yo, I'm Kashif.
How you doing?
You know, that's my brother. You know, he put me on your podcast or whatever, but, you know, real quick, just want to say, you know, I appreciate whatever your podcast. You know, I support all that shit. I'm going to go see Hidden Colors. You know, I'm 30 minutes away from Atlanta, so it ain't nothing.
Yo, no
you know
doubt.
What I'm saying? I ain't fake. But that's it.
No doubt,
you know,
man.
I don't...
All right. Hey, man, I respect that, and I appreciate that. Now, y'all got to pass the phone to anybody else? Y'all acting like this is a call from prison.
Nah.
Y'all acting like this is a jailhouse call. Hey, mama want to talk to you. Hey, baby, you all right in there? Ain't nobody in there trying to play with you or take liberties with you, is there? You know, y'all act like this is a nigga calling from lockdown. Passing the phone to each other. All right, man. But, hey, man, thanks for the call, fam. All right, cats passing the phone to each other. Like I'm trying to raise bail money or some shit. All right, let's chop up game, man. Let's chop up game, family. But like I said, man, it's so very important for everybody to go out and support Hidden Colors. And when the DVD comes out, and the DVD is going to be released on July 4th. We're releasing the DVD pretty pretty soon because the buzz of the movie is so hot. But the DVD will be released July 4th, which is in a couple of weeks. And, well, I think in like a week, not even a couple of weeks, but it's always good to see the movie with a crowd of people. It's good to see the movie with a whole bunch of people to feel that energy. But we have to support stuff like this and also understand when we support stuff like this, we got to look out for certain enemies of the state, so to speak, like the white supremacists and the people within the black community who support the white supremacists, such as the black feminists. And I'm not going to get too much on them, but the black feminists are at it again. There was an article that came out on Madame Noir, that's the Negro Bedouin's headquarters. The same person, it's this chick who wrote a negative article about me when Hidden Colors 2 came out last year, or the year before last. She wrote this very negative article about our brother Umar Johnson, who is in Hidden Colors 3. Now, Umar Johnson, our brother, is trying to get money for a school. He's trying to get an all-boys school, the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy for Black Boys. And he's going around the country trying to raise money. I know I sent money, donated money to the cause. I hope you have done it too. And Madame Noir, the website that brings you such great articles like 8 Ways Black Women Can Get a White Man, you know, stuff like that, real niggerish ass articles, real coonish articles. They wrote a very slanderous article talking about Umar. Nobody should be helping out with the school. Nobody should donate money to the school because of his views about this and that. Just really reaching and nitpicking about bullshit. And this is what happens whenever we try to get momentum, like clockwork, the white supremacists and the watchdogs for white supremacy, they come out trying to thwart or sabotage the efforts. So we have to know as a community how to sidetrack that nonsense. We have to know how to sidetrack that nonsense because, again, we're under attack. And this is why we have to be able to do things without the assistance of the dominant society. We're going to have to circle our wagons. And I've talked about this many times on the show. We're going to have to start protecting ourselves economically and physically and socially and educationally. And this is why when you watch the movies from the Hidden Colors series, we always offer solutions, because I just don't want to let you watch a movie and you feel great about the movie and you don't know what to do. When you watch the movie, I want you to take away something. We give you solutions on what to do, and it's very important that you implement the solutions that we suggest in the films so that we can move forward. Because systematic white supremacy is always on the move, and it's always refining itself, and it's always codifying itself. Because the people who practice systematic white supremacy, they don't really play around. They get on the same page immediately. Look at a lot of the stories that's coming out now. There was a story I read today where these gun enthusiasts, these white guys, they plan on doing this march through black neighborhoods in Texas. I think in Houston, as a matter of fact. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's in Houston. I think they're planning on doing this march with their guns through the black neighborhoods of Fifth Ward down in Houston. What's interesting, Houston, we had a difficult time trying to get Hidden Colors 3 in theaters in Houston. A lot of our brothers and sisters in Houston wanted the screening to be there, and we definitely tried. We were in negotiations with a lot of theaters down there. And a lot of them, when they found out what the film was about, they kind of reneged on the deals. So we were definitely trying to get the film in theaters down there in Houston, and we showed the demand for the film, but again, a lot of them just kind of put us on ignore. That's why the only screening in Texas is going to be in Dallas, and that one sold out immediately. But down there, these gun nuts, they're going to march down the streets in these black neighborhoods with their guns. Now, they were supposed to do it this weekend, but they rescheduled it. And they're still going to plan on doing this. They're still planning on doing this. Now, what's the significance of this? Why are they going to march through a black neighborhood? See, the thing is, many of these white supremacists, and I've been waiting on them to do this, by the way. I'm surprised they haven't done it sooner. But the thing is, a lot of these white supremacists, they're getting bold. And they become more bold. Ever since the Zimmerman verdict, when they acquitted Zimmerman, the white supremacists were emboldened by that. And ever since, they've been doing these test runs, all of these mass shootings that you've witnessed in the last year alone. As I pointed out on many of my shows, a lot of these people are white supremacists and suspected white supremacists. They have white supremacist views. There was another mass shooting plot that was thwarted today, as a matter of fact. There was this white kid, I forgot what city he was in, but he was going to go on a shooting spree. He had everything written out and documented. They found bombs in his house. He was going to do it in April, which was, like I said, a very significant month for white supremacists. But he had to postpone it for some reason. He was going to go on like a suicide mission. Again, the white supremacists, they have no problem going on suicide missions for their white supremacist beliefs. That's how strong white supremacy is in this country. So we have to really understand what we're looking at. White supremacy is a religion to these folks. And they have no problem going on suicide missions for their beliefs. And a lot of these white supremacist groups, they're banding together. Some are sacrificing themselves for the cause. They're going on these mass shootings. They're shooting cops, as we saw in Nevada a couple of weeks ago. A couple of white supremacists went in and shot cops. So they're going on missions right now. And what they're doing up in Nevada, again, they went up into that Clive and Bundy ranch and they backed the police down. So that made them even bolder. So now they want to do what they really want to do is get up into these black neighborhoods and start that whole lynch mob thing. If we allow them to walk up and down black neighborhoods armed and nothing happens, the next move is they're just going to start going into these black neighborhoods doing suicide missions just like they're doing with these cops. They're going to start shooting black people in these neighborhoods. They're going to form these militia groups and literally start picking off black people in black areas. And I don't want to sound macabre or I don't want to sound negative by saying this, but you got to look and see what people are doing and then prepare yourself and don't wait until the last minute when it's too late. See, we have a habit in the black community of shucking and jiving and praying and singing and dancing and bullshitting until it's too late. Everybody should be on alert. I watch what they do and I watch their patterns when I see these white supremacists making moves. Because the thing is, they have the backing of a lot of people who are in political office, who allow them to get away with this stuff, who allow them to get smacks on the wrist when they get caught doing this stuff. So we got to be very careful about what's going on here. And another thing, we got to watch the female white supremacists. And I've talked about this many times as well. The female white supremacist, they get a pass for some reason. For some reason, people underestimate the white supremacist female. Now, all white women are not white supremacists whatsoever. But the white supremacist female, and when I say white supremacist, I'm not talking about a skinhead. I'm not talking about a white Klansman. None of that. Those are just white extremists. A white supremacist is simply a person who feels that they are in a position or that they are superior to black people, and then they have the power to act on that belief. And you have a lot of white supremacist females who are falling right in line with systematic white supremacy. You need to keep an eye on them too. There was a case, where was this case? I think it was in Mississippi. It was in Mississippi. It was in outside of Jackson, Mississippi. Well, it was actually in Jackson, Mississippi. There was a little girl, little white girl down there in Mississippi. She got mauled by a dog, her uncle's dogs attacked her, and it hurt the little girl pretty bad. I think the girl was like 3 or 4 years old, it mauled the little girl, and she survived. They had to get surgery on the girl, and you know, she had like scars and stuff on her face. And the little girl and her grandmother went to a KFC restaurant in Jacksonville. And the grandmother went to the media and said that the employees at KFC told the little girl she needed to leave the store because her face and her scars were scaring the customers. So the girl's grandmother told this story to the media, and the media ate it up. And this girl and her family, her grandmother, they were receiving all types of donations. They got like over $100,000 in donations. Even KFC were shamed into giving like $30,000 to the family. And this story just ran, and now they found out that the story is a hoax. And people are kind of getting on the family's case a little bit about scamming, about using the little girl's injuries to scam money. Now, the thing they keep leaving out in this story is this. And this is one of the reasons why the story took off so much. The KFC that they went to was in a black neighborhood in Jackson. The area is a known black area. There's like 83% black in that particular area, that street where the KFC restaurant was. So all of the employees were black. So the story, according to the grandmother, was basically a black employee told the little white girl to leave because of her scars. And the people in Jackson, they're aware that that area is a black area. So that's the thing that made so many people want to rally around that family, because they felt that a white family was being attacked by black folks. And a lot of the black employees at that KFC location, they were being threatened. There were death threats, and people are going to the KFC, throwing stuff at the drive-thru window and just really sabotaging that restaurant. This was before everybody found out that it was a hoax, but they keep leaving out that aspect, that the whole context of it was that a black employee said something real negative and derogatory to this white child. And the grandmother knew that going in, by the way. See, again, the white supremacists know one thing. If you got a story about a black person committing some type of injustice to a white person, immediately the dominant society will rally around that white person who was done wrong by this black person. Immediately. And they know that's the fastest way to not just get sympathy, you can get money. So we have to stop underestimating the female white supremacists, because they're very good at using that whole victim thing and acting like they're victims of black people. There was another case up in Ferndale, Washington. I think that's the name of the place. Now, up in Ferndale, Washington, there was another case where there was this white babysitter who was babysitting this white kid. The little girl was 4 years old. The babysitter, who's, I think she's 17 years old, she's a teenager, she went to the police and said that while she was babysitting, the house was robbed. She said that some black guys came in the house and robbed them at knife point. They took all types of stuff from the house. And then she described the robbers as the black man who lived next door. There was a black man who lived next door, and the description the white teenager gave fit the black man who lived next door. So what happened was law enforcement went to this man's house. They had a sniper across the street ready to blow this brother's head off if he made a move. And they arrested him based on the allegation of this white babysitter. After a little investigation, they found something was fishy, because I think the brother had an alibi. But that wasn't enough. So they talked to the little girl, the 4-year-old girl who was being babysitted. And the 4-year-old little girl told the truth. She said, well, the people who broke in the house, they weren't black. They were my color. They were white. And come to find out that the babysitter set the robbery up. It was the babysitter's boyfriend, who was another white guy, and one of his friends, who was another white guy. So white people set up the robbery and then blame the black folks next door. And my thing is, the story is running all through the country. They keep leaving the white supremacist aspect out of it. They keep running the story as a hero story of the little girl. They're really focusing on the little girl being a hero. But that's not the most important part of the story. The most important part of the story is how this white teenager randomly blamed this black guy and people fell for it. The whole blame a Negro mentality. And if it wasn't for the little four-year-old, she's more believable than the grown-ass black man. So we got to really understand and see how systematic white supremacy works, because, see, a lot of people have this thing that the white supremacists are old white people who don't really understand what's happening right now. These young people in the dominant society, you have white supremacists who are young as well. Don't let people trick you into believing that these white supremacists are old, decrepit people who are about to die off. They pass that mentality on to the young white supremacists as well. So how are you going to counter that, black folks? You have to counter that by protecting yourself. You have to counter that by creating a system of economic protection, physical protection, economic and educational protection. You got to protect yourself. And again, the white female supremacist, that's a real sneaky one. Because if you look at a lot of these videos online, the white female supremacist will yell out nigger before the white male supremacist. The white male supremacist at least knows how to be a little more calculating with his white supremacist views. But if you look at all of these videos, like the one I played a few weeks ago, whenever you see these people making these racial outbursts, it's a lot of times it's these white females. You get them mad and they can't control their emotions. You know, women are more emotional than guys, so these white female supremacists will yell out nigga at the drop of a hat. I like watching some of those videos by the Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites, you know, those guys who stand on the corner and they're preaching. Some of that stuff is very entertaining because I like to see when they're going off on folks. It's usually the white female who will go by arguing with them, and the white female will be the first to call them niggas. The white males, you know, they kind of go back and forth with them. They brush it off. But the white female goes for the jugular. You stupid niggers. They have no problem going right to the nigger jugular. So it's real heavy, man. So it's very important that we protect ourselves. And we support films like Hidden Colors 3 that bring you information that you need to know. This is our form of media. We need that independent media. And again, we got to stop being so quick to co-opt our stuff. It's very good to own something of our own. And that's why I think so many people gravitate towards the Hidden Color series, because this is something that's ours. This is our own. And I like to keep it that way. And again, when you get something going on as a black person and there's momentum, other people will try to co-opt it. I've been offered so many reality show deals. Especially in the last year, I got a deal right now on the table with the network. I'm not going to mention the network. To do a reality show about relationships, because that's still a very hot topic. That's always a hot topic, talking about relationships. There's always a market for that. And one reason why I haven't signed on yet to do one of these shows is because the way some of these contracts work, and a lot of people don't understand how these contracts work now, and it's very important to understand that, because people are always saying, man, you got to get a reality show, man, you can do your own show, and I can, but if you saw what they put in these contracts now, it's very interesting. Y'all know, like, in a lot of record deals in the music industry right now, they have what's called the 360 deal. I know some of you are familiar with that, meaning that when an artist signs a contract, a 360 deal, the record label not only gets part of the record sold, the money from the record sold, they get part of the artist's tour money too, and any kind of merchandising as well. So they get a cut of everything the artist does from that point on, which is kind of a shitty deal. But in their mind, like, hey, we made you large, so you should continue to owe us. It's a very shitty deal, but a lot of people, if you want to get on, That's the deal you have to take a lot of times. Now, in television, they have a similar deal to that. In reality television, let me preface that. In reality television, they have a similar deal to that. Now, in Hollywood, the nickname of this type of deal, they call it the Bethany Frankel deal. But the legal term is something else, but the nickname is the Bethany Frankel clause. That's what it's called, the Bethany Frankel clause. Now, Bethany Frankel, she was this lady, I think she was on the Housewives of New York, something like that. And she was, nobody knew who she was. They put on the Housewives of New York. The show got hot, it blew up. And then after she got off the show, she started doing all types of stuff. She got all types of endorsement deals. I think she came out with this Skinny Girl vodka, which made hundreds of millions of dollars. So, I mean, this lady parlayed that reality show fame and became a media mogul. She got her own talk show. And this has happened a lot with a lot of so-called reality stars, people who really didn't have any known talent before they got put on television, just like Kim Kardashian. You know, she became a mega millionaire based on being on reality shows, just for the sake of being on reality shows. When you look at the people from Jersey Shore, a lot of them, because they were put on reality shows, they didn't really have any talent, but they were branded by being on these reality shows, and they used that brand to get all types of other endorsements and make mega millions. So the networks are looking at it now like, okay, if we put these people on and they really don't have any talent and they're going on to make all of these hundreds of millions of dollars, we should be able to get a piece of that. That's the mentality of a lot of the networks and production companies. Now, I feel that to a certain degree. And now with reality stars or reality shows, they have a clause in the contract, and they have a clause in the contracts that they're giving me. And this is the problem that I have. This is why my lawyers and I, we haven't signed on to one of these shows. If we get you on a show, we need 10% of all of your earnings from this point on. And the problem I have with that, and again, there's a contract that I have right now that wants me to do that. They want to put me and get me this show, but if I do this show, everything I do from that point on, I have to give them a percentage of the proceeds. And I'm not talking about something that they hooked up. Everything I do from that point on, they want me to give them a percentage of it. And the problem I have is that, okay, I'm already established. I've already sold books before you guys. I've already sold films before you guys. I've already sold clothing and all types of merchandise before you guys. So I don't really need you. That's why I haven't signed on. So I'll be damned, I'm not giving them shit, to be honest. But it's very interesting that I've been getting a lot of these deals, and I'm thinking, are they trying to weasel away into getting the Hidden Colors proceeds? Because according to these contracts, if I were to sign a reality show contract right now, if I do another Hidden Colors film, legally, I would be obligated to give them a percentage of the Hidden Colors films I would do from this point on. I'm like, fuck that. Oh, hell no. But legally, this is what they got going on right now. So if you are talking about or thinking about getting into reality shows, look over those contracts, because this is what they're presenting now. It's called the Bethany Frankel Clause, and they keep that on the low. But if you are a person who's already established, the last thing you should do is sign some shit like that, because that's the way, if they can get a percentage of what you owe, they'll find a way to just co-opt it all later on down the line. That opens the door for them to just take your shit later on down the line if you don't pay at a certain time or you don't give them the right amount of money. So I don't even want to open up that box. So this is why it's very important to look over paperwork, and when people present stuff to you, smiling and grinning, look at the fine print. Because I'm getting suspicious that I done got about 4 or 5 offers for doing reality shows, and this is like the last year alone. So I'm like, okay, are they trying to weasel into some of these other things I got going? So I look at stuff like that. Again, and so these people are cool. I'm not trying to shit on them, but I just let people know how important it is to understand the game and understand how important it is to have some stuff that you own your own. How important it is to own things that you control. Anyway, y'all, just wanted to parlay that information, but go see Hidden Colors in theaters tomorrow all over the country. Hashtag HC3Movie. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to see where the movie is playing near you. I will see some of y'all tomorrow in Los Angeles at the screening. I will see y'all this Sunday on Ustream. Holla.